The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead, author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim. Shel Elyon to the servants and saints of the Most High God. Hello to you today. Shalom. That word in Hebrew, shalom, is such a big word. It means many things. Not only hello and goodbye, but also means prosperity to you, good health to you, all the wonderful things. So when you tell somebody shalom, you are giving them the best blessings you can give somebody. And so a lot of people don't realize that when they say shalom, you are blessing them. So I say shalom to you, and it would be good for you to tell somebody else shalom to them also. We've been talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we're going to continue that, but I just want to also mention that, you know, on Tuesday nights at our congregation, we've been doing discipleship training. I surely encourage you to come out and join that. We also live stream it, so you can pick it up by going to myamc.org website and click on the live streaming and watch it on Tuesday nights beginning at 7 o'clock. We talk about all kinds of subjects. And this is what the Lord says, make disciples. We need to make disciples. You know, too many times we focus on getting people saved. Well, there's a whole lot more to walking in the Lord than just being saved. Of course, that's the first step. You get saved, that's important, the most important step. But after that, we must make disciples so they can go out and tell others, and also the fact that we secure, you know, their knowledge of the Lord so they don't sin against God after they get saved. So these things are important. We need to make disciples. So please join us for that. I'm sure you would enjoy it very much. Also, you know, here back in Passover, I did two large Passover Seders. One of them was 235 people, and one was 185 people. It was just marvelous. I just love it when people's eyes open up and they see things they never read, never heard about, and going, oh my gosh, where has this been all my life, you know? It's just wonderful. And, you know, even Passover, it says, is the eternal ordinance. And if we have Yeshua, we have Passover. And so that's very important. And if you have Yeshua and you're saved, you also have the unleavened bread, which is also an internal ordinance. And these things are important. That, you know, it doesn't mean you go out there and physically have to have a Seder, a Passover Seder. It does not mean you have to remove all the leaven out of your house in the physical. It's all spiritually applied. And that's what's important, is that we apply these things. When we were talking about unleavened bread last week, I was telling you about, you know, Leviticus 23, what it tells us that we must do. So right now I'm going to read before you 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 through 8. This is a very important scripture. It says here, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. A new lump of dough is what it's talking about. So that's talking about being born again, as you are unleavened. So the Apostle Paul calls us unleavened. What does unleavened mean? Unleavened means righteousness, holiness. So the Apostle Paul says that if we have the Messiah, our Passover is sacrificed for us, we become unleavened. And that's exactly what Yeshua did. When he died for us, he purged our iniquities away by his blood. And we become unleavened. That's why we can boldly come before the throne of God today without fear, because God the Father will look at us like we've never done anything wrong in our lives. Of course, we know that's not true, but in God's eyes, because what his son did for us, it is true in his eyes. So how can we neglect such a great gift as the atonement of Yeshua or Jesus in our lives? So we are unleavened. And as I talked about last week, for 7 days we are unleavened. That's the entirety of our lives. So from salvation, which is the two Sabbaths in unleavened bread, the first day and the seventh day. The first Sabbath, when we enter into a rest, that's what Sabbath really means, enter into a rest the day we believe. Then all the entirety of our lives is represented by that number seven. And then the last day is the day that the Lord calls us home, and we completely enter into a rest then. And that's why that last day is a Sabbath also. So everybody has their seven-day cycle in the Lord called unleavened bread. So Paul goes on to continues to talk about in 1 Corinthians 5, 7 through 8, it says, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So leaven represents sin. It's puffed up bread, you know, with the yeast and stuff like that, which represents pride. So we got to be unleavened. We got to control our pride and be obedient to the things of God. And we don't bring back old leaven. We don't bring back our old ways. We surely don't bring the leaven of malice and wickedness in, you know, which is naughtiness and evil and iniquity and evil desires. We keep that away from ourselves, because if we are unleavened, there is no place for leavened bread in our lives. Then we have to remember, too, this concept. If you have unleavened bread and you put a little bit of leaven in it, what's going to happen? The entire bread will start to become leaven. We don't want to be in that position. Keep the leaven out of our unleavened bread. Yeshua also warned us in Mark 8:15. It says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. You know, what did the Pharisees and Herod, what was their leaven all about? Well, for the Pharisees, it was pride and control, blind to the truth, twisting of the truth, self-righteousness. We stay away from that stuff. What was the leaven of Herod? Herod was, you know, power crazy, a control seeker, and he was also an adulterer and a murderer. So Yeshua told us to stay away from the leaven of like those guys did. Stay far from it. The Hebrew term for unleavened bread is hamatzah. That means the unleavened bread. Matzah is unleavened bread. So the major significance of this day was that Yeshua was buried on this first day of unleavened bread. The day always begins in the evening. He was crucified on Passover on Nisan 14th, died and taken down from the cross and buried at sundown, which would begin Nisan 15, the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Remember, the first day is a Sabbath, so that was the Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was at hand, and John 19, verse 31 also called it a high Sabbath. This was not a weekly Sabbath. It was a Sabbath of unleavened bread. That's why you've heard me say, if you've been listening, Yeshua was crucified on a Wednesday afternoon, died on a Wednesday evening, and buried on the Sabbath of unleavened bread. It goes on to say also in John 19:31 that because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Why was it called a preparation day? Because it tells us in Leviticus 23 that on the first day, you are to remove the leaven out of your life. So the first of the 7 days is the day that traditionally the Jews got rid of all the leaven in their house. That's what was called a preparation day. Even though they ate unleavened on the Passover Seder, but that first day of unleavened bread, all the leaven in their house was to be taken away and removed. Spiritually speaking, when we get saved, we are to put away sin. We are to put away what the Bible calls the old man, the old leaven in our lives. We are to put away all these things that so easily besets us. Does that mean we are sinless? No, of course not. We're not sinless. Even Paul said he struggled with things. And we know the scripture says a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. It's a matter of heart and attitude. You know, you should not be sinning and loving it. You want to walk in righteousness. You want to strive for righteousness as we try to put the leaven out of our house. This way also the scripture says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, that you should repent and that you should confess those sins and strive to do better. It's when you fail to start confessing the sins and just fail to start seeking God out and letting your heart and your mind become leavened, this is where you start getting in trouble big time. And of course, you know, when they came to break Yeshua's legs, they already found him dead. And this was a fulfillment that no bones were to be broken of the Passover lamb. And you find that at Exodus 12, verse 46, and Numbers 9, verse 12. So that's why we knew that Yeshua was crucified on a Wednesday, so you could have 3 days and three nights in the tomb. There's no way that you can get 3 days and three nights on a Friday night. And so this is what happens when the church, you know, removed themselves from Hebraic roots. And so it's very important to understand these concepts. But like I said, you know, we're if you want to celebrate a Good Friday and all that kind of thing, that's fine to celebrate what happened on this crucifixion, because the teaching of the cross is the power of God. This is what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. So whether you believe it was Friday or whether you believe it was Wednesday, it's the preaching of the cross that is important to take place. But to understand God's timetable and how it all works out certainly is a strong faith builder. And we begin to understand all the plans of God and how this was all set forth initially in a mighty way. During the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the middle of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, there is another moed that is known as first fruits. And this first fruits is known as also as the barley first fruits. This is what commonly everybody calls Resurrection Sunday or Easter and these kind of things. The official biblical name for it is first fruits. And there's actually two first fruits. There's the barley first fruits and there's the wheat first fruits. This one is the barley first fruits because in the land of Israel, it's the first grain to ripen. This is why it's also that month is called Aviv. Aviv means green. It's this brilliant green that the barley grain has on it just when it's ready to be cut. So this is why also the fact that the lunar calendar, which the Hebrews go by, all has to be based off of Aviv, the barley green in the spring, because the lunar calendar is a few days short from a solar calendar, and so you're going to keep having everything move forward, and then it has to be caught up. So how do they catch it up with the Hebrew calendar? After a certain point, they add another month called Adar 2, which is another Hebrew month. They add another month, another 30 days to the calendar to push all the moeds or the appointments of God back to fit the agricultural concept so that when the barley is ripe, all these things can be taken place. So that's how they do it. This is why quite often that the barley first fruits at Easter almost run hand in hand. Then pretty soon the barley first fruits is a little ahead of Easter, and next year it's another day or two ahead of Easter again and keeps moving forward. Then suddenly they will add a month, and then the barley first fruits is after Easter. It just bounces back and forth. I don't know if you understood how Easter is determined. Easter is determined by the equinox, the spring equinox, and that means, though, when there are 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of nighttime, right there in that equinox, the closest Sunday to the equinox is always when they determine Easter. Now, that's a man thing, it's not a biblical thing, but it just happens to work pretty close to the barley first fruits. So, Leviticus 23 10 through 11 talks about this. So when you come into the land, which I give you, this is the Lord speaking to the Hebrews, you shall reap the harvest, and you shall bring a sheaf, that's an omer, it's a dry measurement of about 2 liters, of barley first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And then he shall wave this omer before the Lord to be accepted for you on the day after the Sabbath. This is talking about now the weekly Sabbath. So the priest shall wave it. This would be on a Sunday. So no matter what, it's always on a Sunday that this barley first fruit is waved before the Lord, either at the tabernacle or at the temple. And they would bring it to the priest. And it also tells us in verse 12 that you shall offer that day when you wave the omer of an he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. This is Yeshua himself. And verse 13, and this meal offering shall be 2/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and a drink offering, that would be wine, there shall be a wine of 1/4 part hin. And verse 14 says, and you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. This is first fruits. I'm a big fan of first fruits teachings because of many reasons, but the main reason is the concept. Understand that first fruits is the first part of a general harvest. This is important to understand. So first fruits is the first part of a general harvest. So these first fruits are designated by the farmer in his field ahead of time. And then when they're ripe, he takes that first fruits, brings it to the priest. The priest waves it at the altar of God to be accepted by God. This is exactly what the rapture is about. This is exactly what Yeshua is about. So those who believe today and have the Lord today and are obedient to the Lord today, because you know the scripture says the Lord will appear to those that love him. And so this is talking about a rapture. So the first fruits concepts are rapture concepts, whether it be the barley or whether it be the wheat. And only a small portion of the entire harvest will be brought to the priest, which is Yeshua, and he will present that harvest before God. That's what happens at the rapture. When the rapture occurs, Yeshua will present us to the Father God to be accepted. And will God accept it? You better believe it. He'll accept anything the Son offers unto him. So this is important for us to understand the first fruits concept. And by the way, did you know it's the same word for firstborn? And this is why the scripture says the firstborn belong to the Lord, and the firstborn is holy unto the Lord. You could transpose that and said the first fruits belong to the Lord, and the first fruits are holy to the Lord. It's the same concept. And so if you believe today and love the Lord today, you are first fruits. You're not the barley first fruits, but you are the wheat first fruits. And I'll explain more of that when we get to Shavuot or Pentecost, how that works. But this flour and wine offerings that are offered during these sacrifices is called mincha. Mincha is what they did with all the sacrifices. So when Yeshua taught about communion at the Last Supper, that was nothing new. What was new about it was that he now told the disciples that this bread and this wine is about me. This is my blood. This is my body. That's what was new. But sacrifices from the time they were ordered in Leviticus were always had bread and wine and oil mixed with it all the time. And so it's called a mincha. And what it is, it's a reaffirming of a covenant. That's why you do communion. I call it New Covenant Passover. But you're reaffirming your belief in the Messiah. That's why you do that. It's a covenant concept. That's why the table of showbread in the tabernacle of Moses has bread sitting on the table with wine on the table, with salt, which is also a covenant concept, with frankincense, the sweetness of it. all on the table of showbread. And so when we celebrate with one another and do a communion, we are reaffirming our belief and covenant with the Lord. So this was an old, old procedure that was done since the writing of the book of Leviticus. And so when Yeshua presented this stuff at the Last Supper, what he did is he turned around and now began to show everybody that all this time you've been doing this, this is about me. It's about me. I am the offering that you need. So you do this remembrance of me and to affirm the covenant. That's what that's all about. Wow. It's amazing things we begin to learn when you understand the principles in the first covenant, how it all works together. So we are the first fruits. If you are a saint, you are the first fruits, and you're going to be presented to the Lord by our high priest, Yeshua, when we come into the land. That's another, that you see that in verse 10 of Leviticus 23. But coming into the land is represented when we come into the kingdom. This is what this represents. And like I said, a sheaf or an omer is just a very small amount of a larger harvest. So I believe this first fruits concept, whether it be the barley or the wheat, are talking about those who will be kings and priests unto the Lord. Very important to understand that. That this is why he says many are called and few are chosen in the scriptures. The first fruits, omer, is a small part of an entire harvest. So count it all as joy for you that you are part of the first fruits if you're walking in the Lord. If you're not walking in the Lord and you're not taken by the rapture, you obviously will not be first fruits. I also believe that the inhabitants of the New Jerusalem are the first fruits. So this is important to understand that. It also tells us that this is the first of the first fruits. It is the barley first fruits. And that word first means best or beginning, rank, chief, choice, principal. So what is this first of the first fruits talking about? Well, it's talking about the barley first fruits, but more likely it's an interpretation that we can see in Matthew 27, verses 52 through 53, when it says, "And the graves are open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many." So after Yeshua rose from the dead, it appears that many others did so also. It appears that they rose in new bodies, but they could have been like Lazarus, resurrection, only to die again. But more than likely, that was the barley of first fruits, since it occurred on the barley of first fruits. And these saints went into eternal life, and we'll be waiting for the rest of us to get there. This was the first of the first fruits. And most of us are going to be there on the wheat first fruits, and we'll be talking about that, if not next week, the week after. So it's important to understand and see these scriptures, you know, what's taking place. And this barley first fruits occurs in the middle of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is also a pilgrimage feast. That means every male Jewish person must go to Jerusalem on this feast. So when they would go to Jerusalem, it would be during Passover, unleavened bread, and the barley of first fruits all lumped together. And they would be there in Jerusalem during this period of time, which means everybody being gathered to Jerusalem is required. And so that's the same thing with the New Jerusalem. Every believer will be required to assemble at the New Jerusalem. Wow. So there's all kinds of things that take place in these Moedims of the Lord. And so we've got to understand them better and try to, you know, and as time goes by, God reveals more of this all the time, which is an indication that we are, in fact, in the last days. God's starting to reveal more and more of his word. So grab a hold of these concepts. Keep looking up, for it's our redemption draws near. It's getting closer every moment. We are closer now than we ever have been. So bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. We love the Lord, and I'll be talking to you again next week. So God bless everybody. Bye-bye.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.